All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. We're in the book of 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Yeah, I stopped too quick. We have been focusing on the 10th verse of the first chapter of the book of 2 Peter, and we'll finish that up this morning. He says, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager or diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, in doing that, we have gone to the book of 1 John, and we've been going through. Last Sunday, I went through about five or six different tests that we find in the book of 1 John concerning assurance of our salvation. And we said the assurance of our salvation is so important to us, because how are you going to enjoy the trip if you don't know you're going to the destination? And so in the Word of God, we have all the assurance we will ever need. And the book of John is written so that you might believe on the name of the Son of God, and believing on the name of the Son of God, you might have eternal life. Book of 1 John is written, believing on the name of the Son of God, you may know you have eternal life. And so the Gospel of John is written so to give you the gospel message, so that you might become a believer in Christ, so that you might repent of your sins, receive Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. The book of 1 John is written, and as I shared last Sunday, these tests, which I kind of call litmus tests, because I majored in chemistry in college, and that's what we use to test solutions. Well, the tests are here in 1 John. If somebody comes to me and they're questioning their salvation, this is the book I send them to, and I show them these different tests that are here in the book of 1 John, that they might look at the scriptures, that they might look at their own life, their own profession, their own change that God has made in their life. And when they go through this, they can say, "Yes, I know, according to God's word, I have been born again. I am a child of God." And there is nothing, it is such a blessing to have that assurance of the promises of God and the hope we have in Christ of a surety in our life as a born-again believer and a child of God. That is so important, because it brings joy, it brings hope, it brings peace, it brings satisfaction, it brings fulfillment. It brings all of these things in our life because we can rest in the Word of God. We can rest on the promises of God, knowing that God is unchanging, that if it was true then, it's true now, and it always will be true. And so, as we look at these, I'm going to give you the first five that we've already gone over. I think we went over the first five. I'm not real sure. But I'm going to go over the first five real quickly, and then we'll go on from there. All right, so the first one was found in the book of 1 John in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 that we saw there. And that is this: are you enjoying fellowship with Christ and God? Do you have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with your Heavenly Father through the Spirit of God? That's the first test. Do you have fellowship with them? The second test was found also in chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 1. And chapter 1, verse 5, this is a message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And then here we begin in verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son purifies, goes on cleansing us from all sin. And so we see then, the second one is, are you sensitive to sin in your life? The truth of the matter is, one is more aware of sin in their life after they're born again, after they're saved, and as they grow as a Christian. The closer you get to Christ, the more you become like Christ, the more sensitive you will be to sin in your life. The Spirit of God will not let you get away with it. He will convict you. He will show the evidence to you of the sin in your life. You will see evidently, with evidence, clearly, the sin in your life and be more sensitive to it. In other words, you'll see more of it. Things that you used to think that did not bother you will now bother you because you've grown closer to Christ. Sensitivity to sin in your life. That is the second one that we looked at. Then the next one that we saw, looked at here, is in chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man that says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Is there a desire in your life to be obedient to God? Is there a burning desire in your life to be obedient to God? This does not mean you live in sinless perfection, because you can't, because you're still a human being and you're still dragging this fleshly nature around with you. But the Bible says, if you belong to Christ, there'll be a desire in your heart to be obedient to His commands, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this, when you are, there will be a satisfaction that comes in your life too, and a peace because of your obedience. And so that was the next test that we looked at there. Now then, the next one comes in chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Now, we mentioned this, but I'll mention it again. When we talk about the world, we're not talking about this planet. We're not talking about God's creation, which was good. We're talking about the world system and culture in which we live today. It is becoming worse and worse as we go through the decades that we go through, according to the Word of God and according to what we observe around us as Christians. In other words, when you watch the news, when you see what's happening in our world today, here in the United States and around the world, and you see the culture and the way the world is living out its own fleshly desires in our world today, does that bother you? Does that, you look at that and you say, I detest that way of life. I detest what's going on in the world in which I live today. And we could mention a multitude of things that we see going on in our world today, that we look at that and we say, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is what it's come to. I can't believe that people would actually think this way today. And we're seeing it lived out in our world, in our culture today, on a daily basis. And so that's what he said. He says, you will despise what's going on in the world in which you live if you have been born again. And this is what he's talking about. And that's the test that we see there in chapter 2 and in verses 15 through 17 as we look at them today. Now then, the next one that I find is in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Chapter 3, 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and we will, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him, everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Do you live with great anticipation and expectation looking for the second coming of Christ? Do you live in expectation, looking forward to, with anticipation, the second coming of Christ? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The person that has not been saved, believe me, is not looking forward to that day. The person that has been born again, that has been saved by the grace of God, is not only looking for that day, but is looking for it with great anticipation and expectation, because they know He's coming again, that He's going to right every wrong, and He's going to rule and reign over this planet and the universe by the grace of God. And so that's the next test that we see here in 1 John as we look at it. And it's something that just comes natural to the born again believer. Now, chapter 3, let's look at, go back up, look at verse 5 through 10. 5 through 10. Let me see here, 5. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. And when that wording is used there, it means, and we'll look at see the same thing further in chapter 5 of 1 John as well, the pattern of your life will be decrease sinning because you've been born again. Okay, no one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. And so we see that the pattern of your life, the pattern of my life, will be that we sin less, decreasing sin in our life as we're sanctified, as we grow in the Word of God by the Spirit of God, and God continues to change us, which He does, until the day of redemption. And when I say the day of redemption, I'm not talking about the day of salvation. I'm talking about the day of glorification. When your redemption comes to fruition, that day is the day that I'm talking about. And so test number 6, I think. I've done lost track now. It doesn't matter anyway. Okay. Now then, we're going to we're going backwards. We're going to chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Okay. chapter 2, verses 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. So the Bible says, whoever claims to be in the light, whoever claims to be in Christ and hates his brother is in darkness. And we'll find this reiterated over and over again in the book of 1 John. And it is this. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? I mean, it's as natural as breathing when you've been born again. Even if you've just met someone who is a Christian and you sit down and talk with them one-on-one and their spirit testifies to your spirit that they are a child of God, there is a love that is in your heart at that moment for that individual because they are a child of God and they are part of your family. And I don't care what color their skin is. I don't care if they're old or young, if they're big or small, or whatever it might be. It is the same spirit in them that lives in you, and there will be a love in your heart for that individual because of what Christ has done in you. And that's what he's talking about here. I think I covered that one last time, but I just wanted to... I'm going by my notes now. Last time I just flew by the seat of my pants and I just went bang, 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 one after another. But I want to make sure I get them all in, so that's why I'm going by my notes this time. Okay, all right. All right. Now then, we got that one. Yep, got that one. All right. And let me see. Same thing is reiterated in chapter 3. Well, I read you that one in verse 15. Let's see. Chapter 4, verse 7. And this is going to reiterate what I've already stated, but you'll see it over and over again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves, notice what it says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. I've shared this with you before, but this was the greatest evidence I had in my life immediately after I was saved. This was the greatest evidence I had in my life. And I guess the reason it was because of my attitude I had towards other people before I was saved. Because actually, if I'm very truthful with you, before I was saved, I really didn't give a hoot about you. I could care less. The only person I really cared about was myself. And that's honest God's truth. Even my sister sitting back there probably doesn't understand how bad that was. But immediately, the moment after I was saved, I had a love in my heart for other people that I guarantee you was not there before. I guarantee you it was not there before. And I realized for the first time in my life that Jack's not the one that was really important. But Christ was the one that was really important. And it's about Him, not about me. And believe me, it's a whole lot easier to live when it's about Him and not about you. Because if it's all about you, you're going to be disappointed. But if it's about Him, you're going to be encouraged. You're going to have a peace, and you're going to have a satisfaction in your life that you never could have had before, that never could possibly have been there before. Now then, chapter 5, verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, what does it mean to overcome the world? Does that mean that you're some kind of superhero and you can change everything in the world? Not at all. Not at all. What it means is, even in the worst of circumstances in this world, you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. Even in the worst circumstances in this world, you will have an unexplainable peace that you shouldn't have. That you shouldn't have, because you realize you're in the hands of a sovereign God that loved you so much, He gave His only begotten Son and sacrificed Him on a cross so that you might be His child, a child of God. And that you are more than an overcomer through Him that loved you and gave Himself for you. And so there will be a peace in your heart. I'm telling you, I know I've had my wife in the hospital several times in the last 3 years, and they would always ask me, especially in Paducah, they'd ask me, well, do I need to show you where to go? I said, you don't have to show me where to go. I've been in here 1,000 times. I said, I've been all over this hospital, even places I shouldn't go. And so what does that mean? It means that I have been in an unbeliever's room no telling how many times. I've been in the room of a believer, no telling how many times. And it is a world of difference to walk into an unbeliever's room that's about to have open heart surgery, or to walk into a believer's room that's about to have open heart surgery, and see the difference in their attitudes, in their heart, and the peace that they have in their own mind because of that. They are more than an overcomer through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Now then, the proof scripture in all of this is found here in the 5th chapter, and it's verse 13. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So anybody that says you can't know you have eternal life doesn't believe the scriptures. I write these things to you so that you may know you have eternal life. And then the last thing I'm going to give you is found here in chapter 5. And it is in verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who has been born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. Okay. Now then, what does that mean? Well, I've referred to it back here earlier, but it means that the pattern of your life will not to be go on living in sin. The pattern of your life will be to follow Christ. The pattern of your life. If you look at your life from the day you were saved to now and going forward, the pattern of your life will not be to continue in sin, but to turn from sin, repent, and followed Jesus Christ. Now, as you've gone through all those tests, we find John has written to you here in 1 John, and he says, by these things you can know that you have eternal life. Praise God Almighty. You see, God did not leave us without the help that we need. He gave us the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to live within us, to teach us, to guide us, and to help us through these circumstances in our life. But I'll tell you one of the main things the Holy Spirit of God does. He illuminates to your heart and mind the Word of God. And when He does, the Word of God isn't just words. It becomes alive. It becomes God's love letter to you. It becomes the living Word of a sovereign, almighty God. And you say, I can nail my soul on that. I know I'm a child of God because God said so. And again, let me say, never go on feelings. Never go on feelings, because our feelings can betray. I've always put it like this. The Word of God is the engine. Feelings are the caboose. The feelings always come because the Word of God has been settled in your mind and heart. And you have that peace in your mind and heart that you are a child of God. Then that's where the feelings come from. And it is a joy and a pleasure to know that in our hearts, day to day to day, that no matter what happens on this planet, I'm a child of God. And my eternal security is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and no one can change that. Amen? Has anybody got a question? Anybody got a question? Well, as I say, I have done very good or very poorly, one or the other. Either you don't know enough to ask a question or you don't have a question, one or the other. But this is what the Word of God, this is why God has given us this Word, so that we might have these things settled in our heart and life, so that, and if any denomination, any person, anyone ever says to you, you can't know whether you're saved or not, take them to 1 John chapter 5 and show them that the Word of God and God Himself said, I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, we won't have the regular service tonight. We'll be, try not to get run over by a train, and we will are stuck by a cactus. And a week from this Sunday, we'll be on our regular schedule again. But tonight will be the assembly in here for Vacation Bible School, and I imagine they'll have the usual things. They'll have is it hot dogs and hamburgers or yeah. Tonight, and then over with the water park for the kids.
Yeah, they meet here about 6:00 and finally leave about 6:30.
Right. Okay. And if you want to come see a bunch of kids have a ball and have fun and be out of their minds, then you can come and join them in here at the assembly, being here at 6 o'clock? Okay. All right. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for so great a salvation, full, free, and forever by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for our Lord and Savior and soon coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the life we have in Him, for the good things you give us each day, but most of all, for the reality of a risen Savior that guarantees our salvation now and in the future through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the work of God in us by His marvelous grace. We love you. We thank you for it.